Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 52. Luke, chapter 8, verse 52.
Luke, chapter 8, verse 52 reads this way. It says, "And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We do thank you again for the privilege of assembling together in your house. Once again, being reminded that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. So we thank you for your presence. We ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you this evening. And Lord, that you would strengthen the faith and grace that you've given to us, and that we might understand more about how you want to work in our lives. So bless Northwood Baptist Church tonight, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply "The Master's Touch and Touching the Master." The Master's Touch and Touching the Master. It's good when the Master touches us, but it's also good for us to touch the Master, and that's how we get into a deeper relationship and more understanding of what the Lord is doing and wants to do in and through our lives. So tonight we're going to consider three quick thoughts. The first thought's going to be a desperate need with a desperate invitation, and then a desperate need with a desperate touch. And then the last thought's going to be the inner circle of revelation and faith. So sometimes it takes a desperate predicament or situation in our lives for us to seek the Lord. Now, it shouldn't really do that, be like that all the time, but that's sometimes when we see God working in a very powerful way. And when we consider this, we're going to see two accounts here. We're going to see, of course, this little girl, Jairus' daughter, who was dying at the particular time at the beginning, and then the woman with the issue of blood. And to my understanding, I would say that none of this was brought on by themselves. This is a situation that occurred in life, but that God intervened and worked in. And likewise, also, he works in all of our lives, right? In every situation, he's involved. And so he does work out all things for our good. And at the very beginning of this account here, we wouldn't say that these things were good, but they did work out for good, didn't they? And so we can consider that in our own lives. Sometimes we see things that happen that we would say, oh, that's not good, but wait a minute, the Lord works out how many things for our good? All things. That's important. So why is that so important? Because if we're not careful, we'll forget to praise the Lord for what he's doing and wanting to do in our lives. Prayer is important, right? But I don't think it should supersede praise, because that's where when we praise the Lord, what are we doing? We're thanking him for things, right? Lord, thank you. Praise you for the salvation that you've provided. Praise you for the creation, or we wouldn't be here. Praise you, Lord, that you are on the throne and you reign and rule every day in our lives. So lots of things to praise the Lord for. And if we pray, I think we ought to be praising at least the same amount of time. Wouldn't you say 50% praying to the Lord and praising? Unfortunately, I think maybe we do a lot more praying than we do praising, but praising is important to the Lord as well. So let's look at this desperate need with a desperate invitation. Back up to verse 40 with me, if you will. And notice what happens here. It says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him." So here's this big congregation, this big group of people that were waiting for the Lord. "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and when he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet." So he's showing reverence, is he not? He's saying, I am looking to you. I'm going to ask you for something. I mean, you could not be more, pleading for help than this man was. And here he is. He falls down at the Lord's feet. And it says here, "and besought him that he would come to his house." So he had a desperate need here, and he's giving a desperate invitation. He says, "Please, Lord, come to my house." And notice what happens here. It says, verse 42, "For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. So that means they're pushing and shoving and they're all over him. And so he's getting ready to go. And I want you to just stop back and think just for a moment here in Jairus' mind. He has a desperate need, does he not? Does he want any interference or any hindrance to stop the Lord? And so here he is. He gets to the Lord and he asks him for this petition. Please come to my house. And he starts turning to go and everybody's around him. And what do you think might be going through Jairus' mind? You know, oh no, this is not. Listen, we need to get to my house and this is not convenient. But again, we need to be reminded, even though this was taking place, the Lord was in control. So as he went, the people thronged him, and maybe they didn't want him to go. I don't know exactly why, maybe because there were so many people. But verse 43 says this, and then on top of that, it says, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. No, none of the physicians she went to, they gladly took her money, right? And they gladly gave her some kind of remedy. You know, when you go to the doctor and you have a problem, or you, as you get older, you think you have a problem sometimes, right? And you go to the doctor, and you say, doctor, I've got this problem. The doctor's not going to let you leave without giving you a solution to the problem, even though there may not be a solution. It just might be something that we don't want to confront all the time. It might be just something that happens as we get older. Okay, that just might be the case. You know, sometimes we get older and things don't function the way they used to function, right? And I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to the doctor, but if you go to the doctor and you say, doctor, can you fix this? Has a doctor ever said, nothing I can do, and unless it's something really serious, but okay, well, we can try this or we can try that, and we can do a little bit of this, and let's see how this works, and they're going to give you something, and I think that's how these doctors were. I think if we try this, this might fix your problem. But the root of the matter here is that none of them were able to heal her. But again, the Lord was in control of all this because this created the opportunity. Fathom this thought. If a doctor was able to help her, would she have ever been in this position or place to meet the Savior, right? Would she have ever sought the Savior out like this? Same thing with Jairus. The situation that occurred in his life caused him to pursue the Lord that he might experience the Lord like never before, that he might really know both of these people knew who the Lord was in a very special way. So again, listen, a lot of people were thronging and a lot of people were touching the Lord, but there was a handful of people that got an experience that no one else did. And so that's important. Today, there's a lot of people that can quote scripture, they can open up the Bible and tell you about, but are they touching the Master, see? And is the Master really touching them? Or are we just fitting in a little bit of God here, a little bit of God there, and we're not really pursuing the Lord like He would have us to for that understanding, that wisdom that brings in the love of God and the peace of God and that causes us to be changed into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ? No doubt, listen, there was a difference in this woman's life, and no doubt there was also a difference in the life of Jairus and his family. So again, here's the situation with this woman. She has a desperate need. She also gave a desperate touch here, and we'll see that here as we move on a little bit forward here. And notice what happens here, verse 44. She comes behind him, came behind him, and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was staunched. It stopped. And she knew it. I want you to know something here. She knew something had happened to her. The Lord also knew something had happened to him. See, when we touch the Lord, He knows it and will know it also when we really get in contact and touch the Lord. I want you to know, we're not going to go back there, but in the book of Matthew chapter 9, verse 21, this woman said, the same account here, but she says, for she said within herself, here's what she said, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. That's faith, isn't it? That was faith that she had in the Savior. And where did that faith come from? Where does all faith come from? It comes from the Lord. And so the Lord was working in her life and settled this in her heart and mind. And she went out to touch the Lord. And so she comes behind him and touches him. And the Bible tells us there in verse 44, immediately her issue of blood was staunched. And here's what I want you to see in verse 45. Notice the Lord's question here. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Isn't that good? Who touched me? Now, there's a natural response and there's a spiritual response. Question, which angle is the Lord coming from? Is he coming from the natural realm or does he have a spiritual application? Is he wanting? Absolutely. So sometimes we answer the most obvious thing, but I want you to see what happens here again in verse 45 that you may have not noticed before. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Now listen, when all denied, did you get that? They're all saying, "I didn't touch you. I didn't touch you. I didn't touch you." And it's just going. Now, they were all thronging him, weren't they, just a moment ago? "I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't touch him." So whatever the case, I'm not saying that they're telling a story here, but some of them probably that were around him were saying, I didn't touch you, Lord. I didn't touch you. But here's what's going on. Many people that day touched the Lord, but only one drew virtue out of him. Did you see that? Only one drew something from the Lord that empowered and changed their life and their wisdom and their understanding of how God works in our lives. So again, verse 45, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master." Really? Right? That's what he's saying. He's saying, "Now listen, Master." He says, "The multitude throng thee," and notice, "and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Now come from, listen, what is Peter doing? He is misunderstanding. Peter in the inner circle is completely misreading the Lord, is he not? He is, because he's saying something happened, Peter, that you don't know about, that I know about, and somebody else knows about. But see, what happens is we just jump to the natural conclusion, and we think we're doing right, and he had a good argument here, but he missed what the Lord was saying. And likewise also, when we just look at the surface, and if we're not careful, that's all we're looking at a lot of times is just the surface, we need to say, "Lord, what are you trying to say to me?" Wouldn't that be good? Maybe if Peter were to have said, "Lord, I here's what I see, but what are you trying to say to me?" See? "Lord, I want you to know something. I'm natural. I need you to help me understand. What are you trying to say to me?" You think that would have been a different approach? Yeah, obviously. Now listen, we have the scriptures. Had you and I been in the same position that Peter was in, we probably would have answered the same way. But since God has given to us his word, we can look at it and say, obviously, Peter missed something. We would have missed something. So now, Lord, what are you trying to say to us tonight? What are you trying to communicate to us as we consider your word? So when we look at this, notice again, Peter says, "Thou say and sayest, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me." Listen to this, verse 46. "For I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." Now look at the mercy of the Lord. Now, if Peter would have said, "Lord, I'm looking at the natural realm. I think I'm missing what you're trying. What are you trying to say to me?" I think the Lord would have said, "Peter, I want you to know something. Somebody touched me in such a way that virtue has gone out of me." But look at the mercy and grace of God to tell Peter anyway the right thing, right? So that he would understand. You know why the Lord does that? Because he knows our frailty. And he loves us. And he wants us to know. But if we're not careful, we could just fly right over that and miss that, you know, Peter missed something here, and so did the multitude that were denying him. And the Lord is telling them, "I want you to know something. I've been touched." And here's what the Lord, really, listen, when you stop and think about it, do we not really know that the Lord knew that all kinds of people were touching him? But he was trying to say, "I was touched by one person like nobody else touched me, to where they drew virtue out of me." Now, why did that happen? Because she approached the Lord with a great need by faith. By faith that the Lord would do something in her life. Nobody else touched him that way. And Peter was a million miles off, and we would have been also. But tonight the Lord says, I want you to know something. I was touched in such a way that this was drawn from me for their benefit. Is the Lord the same yesterday, today, and forever? Is it possible for you and I to touch the Lord through the Word of God, through prayer, through praise, in such a way that virtue would be drawn out of Him and into our lives to heal us emotionally, spiritually, and to change us into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, to where the Lord knows this loved one, this child of mine, is seeking me to touch me in such a way that virtue will come out? Question. Does the Lord want to bless His children with this kind of virtue that changes their life? Amen. Absolutely He does. And He wants all of His children to be blessed, but we have to have the faith to believe and to seek the Lord in that. And if we don't do it, well, you're still a child of God, but guess what? No real virtue. No real communication as the Lord would have it. Now listen, not that we can't. This is not anything mystical or anything like that. It is just pursuing the Lord that we might understand Him in a greater way, right? And so notice what's happening here. Here's the Lord. Here's this situation where He sees that this virtue has gone out. And really, when the Lord meets a serious need in our lives, He knows it and we will know it as well. And He wants us to know it, but notice only one in this case saw her need to touch the Master. Now, many people were touching Him, but none of them touched Him the way she did, right? And that's important because she was blessed by the Lord, and I believe the Lord wants to bless each and every one of us. So, as we move on here, we find here verse 47, and it says this, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before Him. And so she declared unto Him before all the people for what cause she had touched Him and how she was healed. How quickly? Immediately. And she knew it. She knew it. The Lord knew it, and she knew it. See, this involves an interactive relationship with the Lord, both the Lord and the one seeking the Lord, and God will reveal it, right? She knew it and He knew it. And so also take note that God is never manipulated by time, and His plan is always accomplished, because let's not forget about Jairus. So remember Jairus, right? We could easily get so caught up with the woman. Where's Jairus at? Jairus is sitting there patiently, but what's running through his mind? His daughter. The need of his daughter has not escaped his thinking. Now, maybe he was caught up in what was going on, and also the Lord was also working in his life as well. Because he's not panicking. So the Lord had to intervene there because we would be tempted to tap him on the shoulder and say, Lord, we've got to go. But he doesn't do that. And so the Lord is in control, the Lord is at work, and I would dare say even settling the heart and mind of Jairus also that he is in control. How in control is he? Jairus just witnessed this woman being healed after 12 years of this issue of blood that could not be stopped by anybody, but the Lord stopped it immediately. Isn't that something? Immediately. So he's watching this. And here's again Jairus. We don't want to forget about him. And verse 46 says again. And Jesus says, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people, Jairus among them, for what cause she had touched him, and now she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort." Here's another blessing. Isn't this good? "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And here's the other one. "Go in what?"
Peace.
"Go in peace." And when the Lord says go in peace, guess what you have? You have His peace, don't you? And so there she goes. Now, while, verse 49, "While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. Wow, what a whop right upside the head, wasn't it? Can you imagine being Jairus? That was some earth-shaking information. And so now we find this desperate need. And by the way, it's never forgotten by the Lord. And so here's this Jairus here, and here's this information that he's getting. And notice the Lord's response here as we consider. Verse 50, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. So that was a word from the Lord to not fear. Only God can bring that into our hearts and minds. You know, we fear a lot of things in this world, don't we? Don't we? But should we really fear them? Should we really fear them? Because if we're living in fear, we're not living in the love of God, are we? Because the perfect love of God drives out all fear, doesn't it? And we don't really have our testimony. I will tell you, I fear. I'm not trying to tell you I don't fear. I do fear, but we need to come to grips with this idea. Does God want us to fear? So how does that stop? Just, we're not supposed to fear, so we don't fear. No, that doesn't work that way. How's that going to work? The same way this woman pursued the Lord to be remedied of the issue that she had in her physical body is the same way you and I need to pursue the Lord to deal with the spiritual matters of life. Same way. If you don't pursue the Lord, don't expect a change. If you don't touch Him and He doesn't touch us, then don't expect a change. But if you have the faith to believe, and God gives us that faith, Lord, you've said this about me in my life, I'm not to fear. So what do I need to do? Pursue the Lord and touch Him to where He touches us and settles in our heart and mind. It's our opportunity, right? We don't have to do that. But you and I as children of God are privileged to do that if we'll pursue that. Isn't that a better pursuit than anything else? Lord, I want to pursue You in the promises that You have given to me, that You might give them to me, that I might obtain them from You. That's how we don't get them ourselves. We have to communicate and touch the Lord, and He has to touch our lives as well that changes us. Was this woman's life changed? Because she touched the Lord and the Lord had virtue go out from him. Is Jairus' life getting ready to get changed? Absolutely. Why? Because the Lord is engaged, see? And so it's so important to engage the Lord. Listen, the devil is a smart, smart adversary. And he will keep you busy everywhere. More so today, to where we have more time for things that are temporal and passing away and no time for the Word of God, little to none. And little to no time for prayer. And little to no time for praise. I mean, that's just the situation. And what happens is, the devil, here's the devil's will, ready? You be God. Serve yourself. You make the rules. You do it your way. And forget about the Lord. That's the devil's plan. He just wants us to forget about our God and get so busy and filled up with other things that we miss out on the best that God has given to us, and that's, of course, a relationship with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice again verse 50. But when he heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Boy, what words of comfort that only God could give. Nobody else could have given him those words. But God gave him those words. So notice what he does, verse 51. And when he came into the house, that's his house, right? Where his daughter was. When he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. So this is this inner circle of revelation and faith, see? So here the Lord says, okay, we're nobody else is coming in. Remember, the people were thronging him. They didn't stop following him, okay? When they saw something, they wanted to see more, but more important than seeing something is receiving something from the Lord, isn't it? That's what's important. And so this lady receives something, and Jairus, and also Peter and James and John are going to receive something, and the mother, of course, and the maiden. So notice what happens. They come into the house. Nobody else comes in, but these people, verse 52, and all wept and bewailed her, but he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. Does the Lord know what he's talking about? The world will laugh and mock as we follow God's prescription. Really? You're going to do that? I don't think the woman was disappointed, do you? And I don't believe Jairus and his family were disappointed either, his wife and daughter. So he says she sleeps, verse 53, and they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. But they forgot that the life and the resurrection was in the room. And notice this, verse 54, and he put them all out. So all these people, these professional mourners, they're all kicked out. And now it's strictly Jairus' wife, Peter, James, and John, and the Lord and this maid here. And so he puts them all out, verse 54, and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. Was there any doubt? Not in the mind of the Lord. But notice the spectators that were watching that were now going to be empowered with the understanding and the wisdom of the power of God in their presence. And that's what you and I need, is the power of God in our presence. Not to do things, great things that we want to do, but to be yielded to the will of God that he might perform his will in our lives. And so he says, maid, arise. Notice what happens, verse 55. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. Isn't that something? They saw something that nobody else saw. And look how important this is. Verse 56. And her parents were astonished. You think in a positive way? Do you think they were a little bit happy? But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. This is something that God brings people into as they pursue the Lord. Jairus pursued the Lord, did he not?
Yes.
And this is why he was brought to this place. The woman pursued the Lord, did she not? And that's why she was brought to the place where she was brought. How about you and I? Do we want to pursue the Lord, that the Lord might bring us into this place where virtue might come out of him and into our lives? Not our virtue, his virtue that changes us into the likeness, not the image of, you know what I'm saying, the likeness that he wants to create in our lives, that we might see the difference that God can make. Listen, the woman with the issue of blood and Jairus could have not changed their situation, could they? They couldn't. You and I cannot change our situation. But God can. God can. So the question tonight is, do we want to pursue the Lord that he might change us for his honor and glory? The invitation is the Lord's, is it not? And the opportunity is ours. Would you stand? Let's pray as we prepare for prayer. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for your word. We truly thank you for your will that you want to perform in our lives. May we exercise the faith that you've given to us to pursue you, that you would change us for your honor and glory. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.